For those of you guys who maybe haven't been here before or this is your first time, we started a series in the last couple of weeks on the book of Acts. And as you see, we have gather, grow, go. And that's basically what we feel the whole book is about. Now, as a former history teacher, I love going through the book of Acts because it gives you tons of historical accounts of what actually occurred in the first century church, the beginnings of the church coming together and living and serving and loving together, and then sending out their message. Now, I want to give you a little bit of background because some people, if you don't know the context, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And so right now we're talking about the day of Pentecost. Okay, the day of Pentecost is a celebration that took place about 50 days after Passover. So if you know anything about the story of the crucifixion, you know that Passover happened. Jesus had his Passover meal with his disciples. And then that night, he was then betrayed by Judas. And then everything goes from there. So this is 50 days after this occurred. Okay, not a very long time. And then what you need to also understand is that this is about 10 days after Jesus ascended into heaven. So at the very beginning of Acts, it talks about, you know, Jesus' ascension into heaven. So we're talking about 10 days. And he told them, he warned them, he said, hey, make sure you don't go anywhere until you receive the Holy Spirit. So he was very specific. So for the next 10 days, they're waiting in expectation for the arrival of the Holy Spirit. They didn't know when it was going to come. They didn't know what to expect. All they knew was Jesus said, wait. So they were waiting. When you look at the day of Pentecost, it was all about completion. Originally, the Israelites were given the law of Moses in Pentecost. So it was supposed to be this completion, this fulfillment. But now, if we look at the life and ministry of Jesus, you have the death, you have the resurrection, and now this is the completion of what he had promised in promising to send an advocate or the Holy Spirit to help in a way that they would never understand up until he arrived. Now, you have to also understand is that Jesus said it was better for him to go so that the Holy Spirit could come. Because when Jesus was with them in body, he was just with them in body. But when the Holy Spirit was given to them, it was going to be something where he enabled them to understand the scriptures and all the teachings that Jesus had already given them and equipped them with. And really, he was the one that was going to seal it and make it a whole gift that all of a sudden they were like, oh, when they got it, then they realized what Jesus was always talking about. So he had always says, look, it's better for me to go. And now we see the beginnings of this gift and what occurs. Another thing I want you to understand is the difference in Jerusalem. So Carolyn's going to put this up. This is a picture of Jerusalem now, but it was from an angle that it looked like it could have been back then too. So I was like, that's a pretty good picture. Okay. But you need to understand something. Jerusalem, during this time, the population was around 55,000 people. That's the best estimate. Me and Chris were going back and forth talking about the different festivals and how the population went into flux. But they said that when Pentecost happened, it was around 200,000 or more. So you're looking at a tripling, at least, of population during this time period. I don't think it's any coincidence that this is when the Holy Spirit decided to show up. Because all of a sudden, the audience is a lot bigger for what he was about to do. So I want you to look with me, starting in Acts chapter 2. I'm going to kind of go through it as a story, not as reading it verse by verse. But basically what you've got is you've got the believers, they're grouped together. They've been there. There's about 120 of them. And they have been waiting and praying for the Holy Spirit to arrive. And then it says something very specific. It says that there was the sound of a violent wind that came in. And then all of a sudden they had, it said, little tongues of fire above their head. And they began to speak in other tongues. Okay. Now, some people may sit there and go, well, that's kind of a strange thing. But remember, this had never happened before like this. But we do know that this was the fulfillment of it. Because if you look with me really quick at Luke chapter 3, go in your Bible to Luke chapter 3. You'll see that John the Baptist tells ahead of time that this is going to happen. He says in Luke chapter 3, starting in verse 15, it says, the people were waiting expectantly and all were wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. And here's where John gives us something specific. He says, John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." So we have a completion of what John had prophesied already. When Jesus had just started his ministry, he's going, "Hey, it's not me, it's Christ. And guess what? He's going to do more with you than I could ever do. And he's going to do more for you than I could ever do. I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. He's going to come and give you something that is going to change your eternity." And so they receive the Holy Spirit. And this is the first time this happens in this way. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is mentioned several times. A lot of times. But what happens is this. This is a time in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would go and rest on someone, but then he could be taken away. We see this with King Saul. It says that King Saul had the Holy Spirit come upon him, but then later on, when he had constantly disobeyed God, that the Spirit was removed from him. And then you have Samson. It says that Samson was given the Spirit of God, and that's where he got his strength. But then what happens? He sins, he allows them to cut his hair, and it's taken away. But this is something different now, because now in the New Testament, after Christ has come, died on the cross, and rose again, you have the Holy Spirit come and indwell the believers that have accepted Christ as the Messiah. This means that now there is a shift, and now once you receive the Holy Spirit, there is no taking him away. You are sealed in that Holy Spirit when you repent and put your faith in Christ Jesus as Lord. So this is a huge shift from what they understood and knew from the Old Testament, and now after Christ has died and rose again. Now, here's something that stood out to me. Notice that it says that there was the sound of a violent wind. It doesn't say there was a violent wind. The reason I want to point that out is very simple. If there had been a sound of a violent wind with a violent wind, it would have surprised no one. But if you're there and you hear the sound of a violent wind and nothing is happening as far as wind movement, you're going to sit there and go, "What on earth is that?" I don't know if anybody's ever heard of how a tornado sounds. Okay, I've never been in one. I've been in hurricanes, but they say that when a tornado comes around, that it sounds almost like a freight train barreling through the area. Well, if we heard that sound, but yet we look around and there is nothing around to explain it, then it explains the reaction of what the people in Jerusalem did. It says they all started looking and trying to figure out what in the world was going on. Okay? And then it says that they began to speak in various tongues. Okay, now as we look in the scriptures, in the passage, it's very obvious what it means by this. It means various languages. It's not any kind of gibberish. It's not any kind of thing that is just rattled off. It is different languages, and the Holy Spirit gave them the ability to speak in those different languages. And then it goes about naming off 15 different regions, specifically where people had come from. Now, I'm not going to go through all the different regions because I will inevitably mess up at least one of the words. But if you look there, it talks about all the different ones, the 15 different ones that there is at least they're gathered there together. Why is this so important? Well, first of all, you have people speaking in languages that they never learned. And then you have people recognizing who were not believers in Christ, that they were hearing these guys who were all from Galilee in their own heart languages. I want you to understand the importance of this. If you've ever been to another country, and you've left here and you've gone there and all of a sudden they didn't speak your language, you feel completely lost. Or maybe that happened to you when you came to this country. I realized when a couple years after we got here, we went over to France. It was the first time I had actually been to another country where I didn't know the language. Whenever I was in South America, no problem, because I knew Spanish and everybody was speaking Spanish, and I was like, this is easy. We got to France, and we're trying to order at McDonald's, and this was a very interesting thing to do. And you end up just pointing at pictures. Because the app wasn't working, so you can't translate for yourself. And we're going through, and I looked at Sarah, I'm like, wow, I've never had to deal with this before. And then, of course, I went to Germany, and same thing happens. But there's something different when you hear someone speaking in your heart language. Now, I grew up in Miami, where, I'll be honest with you, it is not like the rest of the United States. Most of my friends were Hispanic. Most of the friends that I grew up around were not white American. Almost everywhere that I lived, I was usually the minority. And I liked it, because I don't like it when everybody looks the same. Because to me, it just shows you how cool God is and the creativity that he has. But I had a time when I came over here and I was having, before we moved here, I was having a rough go. I was trying to get a job as a teacher, and that's how originally we were going to come over. And the doors just kept getting slammed in my face over and over again. And I'm sitting there going, what on earth is going to happen for us to be able to move over here? And I was really down, and I went to the cinema because, you know what, when you're down, you go see a film, right? And something funny happened. I grew up around Cuban guys, Dominican guys, and if you don't know anything about them, they can be, number one, very loud, and even, it almost seems like they're arguing, but really they're just talking. And these two guys come on the screen. It was a Dominican guy and a Cuban guy, and they're doing their usual thing. And I felt all the stress of the days that I had been here trying to find a job and not working, that it literally all fell off of me when I heard those two guys arguing. Because to me, that was my heart language. That was Miami. So if you've ever had the experience of having someone speaking to you in your heart language, it means a little bit more. And so when you have these people hearing the believers at Pentecost speaking in their heart language, it connects to them on a totally different level than if they would have just been speaking the usual Aramaic that these people may have understood, but it wasn't what connected directly to their heart. So I don't want you to miss the significance of these 15 different regions and the fact that they were speaking in the languages of these areas. It connects to the heart. Without the Holy Spirit's equipping and enabling, the people would not have heard this message in the most effective way possible. It wasn't just for show. It wasn't just the Holy Spirit going, wow, look at this. How do you like this miracle? It always had a purpose to connect to them in that way. It connected them for the purpose of spreading the good news of Jesus. There's always a reason for it. As we look through the book of Acts, we'll see other times where people are given this gift of being able to speak a different language or a tongue. And as they do this, it's always for a purpose. There's always someone there that it is for and can understand and interpret that. Now, I want to point out something else. If you look, the next thing that happens, people are going, oh, what? These people are obviously just drunk. Some of them are saying, I don't know about you, but I've never seen a drunk person spontaneously begin to speak a different language that they don't know. So we can just kind of take that. Now, they can talk, and it sounds like another language sometimes, but this is not the explanation. And Peter's like, hold on a second, guys. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, okay? They're not drunk. And the other ones are sitting there going, no, they're not drunk because they're speaking perfect, pick a region. And they're going, no, we understand what they're saying. And Peter gets up and begins to speak with a boldness that 50 days before would have been unheard of. The reason I mentioned the 50 days is because not too many of us change a great deal in 50 days, especially not going from denying someone's existence that you know them, like Peter did on the night of Passover, to then standing up in front of crowds that are triple what the normal population is and boldly proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that he is seeing in this moment the fulfillment of promises that were made in the Old Testament. Now, he quotes the book of Joel here in the Old Testament. Now, he's not saying that in that moment all these things are being fulfilled. He's saying now they can be fulfilled because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's saying now these things that were promised before are now possible because he is here to equip the people who have believed and repented and put their faith in him. Jesus did not ever send his disciples out or his followers out without preparing them first. And I'll tell you something else. He didn't send them out to do something that he did not model for them first. He gave them an example. He showed them how to serve. He showed them how to love. He showed them how to care. Why? Because when he was gone and the first church, the first century church, was going to begin, that's exactly what they were going to have to do. And we, if you're a believer here today, we are called to do the same thing. We are called to serve. We are called to love. We are called to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. Day in and day out, through our words and through our actions. Now, the wonderful thing is, Jesus didn't just give the instruction and say, go ahead, have at it. He said, I'm giving you the instruction, wait for the Holy Spirit, and now he's there on the scene, and now he goes, now they go, okay, now we know what we're supposed to do. And they begin to proclaim this. With the Holy Spirit, they were equipped in a way that they could never have imagined. They can never have prepared themselves for that. Because let's face it, when we sit there and we imagine God doing something, we imagine it within the limitations of our own experiences, don't we? We imagine that it'll have to fit in this little box that we can do. Let me tell you something. If you as a believer are going through your life only expecting God to do what you could do by yourself, you're not thinking big enough. You want things to happen in a way that are so big that everybody knows it could not have been you, that it had to be God. I was talking with my grandfather one time. He was a missionary in Peru for 57 years. He said from the first day that he landed, his prayer was that God would do something so big in Peru that everybody knew this guy from the U.S. did not do it. When he finished language school in Panama or in Costa Rica, the guy who ran the language school looked at him and said, he said, Rudy, no one will ever get saved through your ministry because they won't be able to understand your Spanish. 57 years later, I laugh at the language teacher. I don't think my grandfather ever did, but I sit there and go, wrong. Why? Because it wasn't up to my grandfather, it was up to God. And so it's amazing to see what happens when the believers just sit there and allow God to use them in a way that never could have been thought of. They began to witness to a population of people that had come from all over the place. God had strategically brought people from all over to be reached in one specific place. Remember also, he said, you know, to take it to the Jews first, then Judea, then Samaria, then to the uttermost. What was the first thing that God did? He said, okay, I'm going to let my spirit on you when I bring all the Jews to you. And then they're going to go out. And they're going to proclaim. They were given this gift because they repented and because they put their faith in Christ. I do not want anybody to be confused about that. It's not because they were good people. It's not because they followed all the right rules and regulations. That has nothing to do with it. It's because they put their faith in Jesus Christ and repented and turned their lives over to him and accepted the gift that he had been given, that he gave for them. Sorry. And because of that, they were able to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the cool thing. It was that way 2,000 years ago, and it's that way now. According to the Bible, we're all called to repent of our sins, to turn away from them, to put our faith in Jesus Christ, and receive him as our Savior. And he gave that gift for everyone. That's why when it says every tribe, every tongue, every nation, that's why. He gave it for all. Once and for all, he said, I'm giving this gift for everyone. Now, I want you to think. God brought all these people from all these different regions to Jerusalem so they could hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, so they could repent and believe in him and put their faith in him. Now, I want you to think of this city. Anybody know how many different nationalities are represented in the city of London or the greater London area? There are 276 nationalities represented in the greater London area. 300 languages spoken in the greater London area. Do you think this is a coincidence? There are 1.8 billion people in the world that do not live in their country of origin. And what happens when people move is all of a sudden they become more open to different things because they have to adapt to the cultures that they happen to be in. And then God begins to work in their hearts. And I look at London, I sit there and go, wow, it's kind of like Jerusalem all over again, where God's brought everybody into one place so that we can share the gospel here. Because let's face it, there are people from countries that we cannot go into because we're not allowed to go in. So God said, okay, I'll bring them to you. Let's try it that way. And if you are sitting here today and you've accepted Christ as your Savior and you've repented and put your faith in Him, then that means that you were given the Holy Spirit when you accepted Him as your Savior. Which means we all have that same Holy Spirit that they had 2,000 years ago, empowering them and empowering us to share the good news with everyone around, regardless of whether you stand up here and preach or not. I know a lot of times people come into church, they're like, well, that's the leader's jobs. They're the ones who, they get paid to do it. No. We're all called to make disciples of all nations. We're all called to share the good news of Jesus Christ with all nations. And the cool thing is we live in a city where almost all the nations seem to be. Which if you don't think that's a cool thing, think about it again. God's brought the world to one city. It's amazing. It's awesome. And it's something that only God could have done. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you today that we can look back at your word, Lord, and we can look at the book of Acts and look at the historical account of what you did on the day of Pentecost. Lord, we thank you that you made it so obvious why you had them wait. We thank you for the fact that you gave them the Holy Spirit so that they could reach those who are around them. Lord, we pray that you would use us to reach this city, Lord. Lord, to reach this area of Abbey Wood. There are so many people from so many different nations here in Abbey Wood. It's just the beauty of your love and desire for so many people to be reached, Lord. That's why you called us here. Lord, we pray that as a church, we would be effective in not missing opportunities. Lord, we pray that when we do the door-to-door, Lord, and we give the invitation with the face, Lord, that we would have good conversations and be able to just engage people and talk to them and let them know why we're here. Lord, if there's anybody here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, I pray that you would encourage them to talk to Chris or myself or to Jeff. Lord, I pray that you would move in everyone's heart, Lord. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would give us courage and boldness to speak to people, to encourage people, to love people, to serve people. Lord, give us that courage to proclaim the love and the message of your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he did so long ago. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.